Explore and remember several facets of God's forgiveness with the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November, Flowing from the Cross. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or learn more about Flowing from the Cross at issuesetc.org. Flowing from the Cross, Six Facets of God's Forgiveness, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November, 1-800-325-3040 or issuesetc.org. Well, this idea of forgiveness that we find in the Bible, not human forgiveness, not imitation forgiveness, but God's forgiveness of us in Jesus Christ, it is at the same time very simple that He does not excuse our sins. He does not justify our sins. He does not turn a blind eye toward our sins. He forgives them. He pays the price that they warrant by His justice and wrath at the cross in His Son's blood. And therefore, He can extend to us full and free forgiveness of all our sins. Now, that's a simple idea. Free forgiveness. No strings attached. It's also an idea that is very deep and deserves a little exploration, which is what we're going to be doing for the next half hour of Issues Etc., exploring God's forgiveness. Joining us to do so, Dr. Daniel Pavola. He's professor and chairman of the Department of Theology at Concordia University, Wisconsin. He's author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November, Flowing from the Cross, Six Facets of God's Forgiveness. Dr. Pavola, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hey, thank you so much for letting me come and join you and your listeners, and thank you for highlighting the book this month. Appreciate that.
What do you mean when you say that forgiveness is our diamond of engagement with God?
I live with 20-year-olds here at Concordia University. They're wonderful people, and one of the highlights is that diamond of engagement. You know, when that wonderful engagement ring comes on, that is the center of attention. Is there more to the relationship? Oh, yeah. There's stories, there's excitement, but that diamond, with all its facets, is just a great picture of where that relationship is. Forgiveness is our diamond of engagement with God. Lots of facets to our relationship with God, but at the center, priceless, telling the story, is forgiveness. If we're forgiven, you know what? The relationship is good, and all the other facets will come. So that was a fun part of the idea, and we try to hold up six facets of that diamond of forgiveness, but in its essence, it is one thing, forgiveness found in Christ.
What is imitation forgiveness?
Imitation forgiveness, if real forgiveness is a diamond, then imitation forgiveness is cubic zirconium. Looks like forgiveness. You know, it's things like giving somebody a second chance, saying, well, I'll give you a second chance. Is that forgiveness? No, not really. It's just an accounting, and an accounting that's going to demand accumulated interest and building up and on and on. Another imitation forgiveness, cubic zirconium, is comparison that, well, you know, you have to forgive me because I'm not as bad as someone else that's looking back and finding somebody worse than yourself and saying, see, at least I'm not that person, not that bad. Our world is filled with imitations of forgiveness, and we fall into that trap so easily, and I'm hoping that by recognizing the second chance as forgiveness, no, we'll look for the real thing, the genuine forgiveness that comes in Christ's blood and His resurrection.
I want to come back to that second chance forgiveness. Why is God's forgiveness not a second chance?
You know, when will that second chance end? Because, you know, if all it is I get another chance to try harder, do better, am I going to succeed? I'm not. Todd, you might succeed at every second chance, but I just would be beyond counting the number of times God would have to say, okay, Dan, try again. Well, that's never going to end. And if second chance is our definition of forgiveness, it's pure law, isn't it? Because it's a second chance for me to do something. Well, that's the law. But forgiveness is wonderful gospel, God's action for me, not my trying again. So in good you know, CFW Walther law gospel terms, these two are really far apart, aren't they?
The first facet of forgiveness that you talk about is a stain washed clean. How would you describe that?
You know, I think it's just a natural one. Psalm 51, David cries out for a clean heart, a new beginning. And it's the idea that can we just start all over? And everybody who has done the wrong thing wants to, can we just start over? Well, God actually washes us. He actually sees us without stain or wrinkle or spot or blemish, but holy and blameless in his sight, Ephesians 5. And so it's a great picture of forgiveness, isn't it? That God doesn't give us another chance to do better. No, no. He says, you've arrived. In my eyes, you are faultless, clean, perfect. To me, it seemed like the natural center of forgiveness, the natural beginning. If we're going to take on these six facets, let's talk about clean as my initial natural desire.
How is baptism the way that God covers our sins?
Well, covering is a wonderful idea then. See, blessed is the man whose sins are covered. Covering is different than clean, isn't it? Clean is clean, right? Clean. Hold it up. Look at it. Nope, it's clean. It's wonderful. Covering says, I'm going to need to put something over this, and you won't see it. You'll just see the covering. Isn't that a beautiful picture of baptism? In baptism, we are covered with the waters of baptism. And anybody, you know, if you've gone to the seashore, the lakeside, the riverside, you see the water and not what's beneath it. And the water of baptism covers me so completely that I'm hidden underneath. I have another covering imagery with the memory quilt. I have a wonderful student, Catherine, who, while I was writing this, was telling me about this memory quilt she was making. And it kind of captures her life. Over 600 squares, by the way, in this quilt. Oh, my gosh. That's a lot. It seems to me that baptism is the clear water covering, and Christ's whole life, think of it as the ultimate memory quilt, also covers us. Whoever's been baptized into Christ has put on Christ Jesus, the memory quilt of all that he is and all that he's done. All those patches, all those facets, they cover me also. It's not a bad pair of ideas.
In that vein, you say, let the tomb be the final covering, the final resting place of your sins. What do you mean by that?
Well, that's the third image of covering. Covering as water, baptism, beautiful. Covering as memory quilt, again, beautiful, the whole life of Christ. And my third one is, if you've got a stain and you're worried that that stain is going to come through, even though you tried to wash it, I've got the fix for it. And I take a tub of the blackest axle grease that you've ever seen. It's in my shop. And I'll take that axle grease and smear it over that stain. So when I do this in a class, I've got a stained T-shirt. You take axle grease and smear it over that ketchup stain. Is that red ketchup stain ever going to come through that black axle grease? No, no. No, no. Not at all. That is all you're ever going to see. Where does God ultimately cover our sins? In the darkness of the tomb. He has buried our sins in the ultimate darkness of the tomb. And by the way, I don't like caves or caverns or anything like that. My adventurous wife would love for us to do some of those things. No way am I going into a cavern or a cave. And I think that's not a bad picture of the ultimate covering of our sins is sent into the deepest tomb, the tomb of Jesus, and they are there and covered in that darkness. We don't need to go there.
The third and fourth facets of forgiveness that you highlight, they actually go together, and they are fixed and far away. Talk about those.
Yeah. Well, fixed is in one place. You know, if you have a problem, would you like it to be in one place only? I describe, it's very simple. We had a wonderful dog, black lab, that had a tumor, took her to the vet, and our hope was that the tumor was in one place, you know, that we'd gotten it early enough, and it was in one place only, it could be fixed. The surgeon could go in, the doc could go in, take that tumor out. You know, in real life with people, cancer patients hope that all the time, that that cancerous growth is in one place only. And if it's there, it can be fixed. Surgery, fixed, and it's done. Do we want our sins fixed in one place? Absolutely. On the cross, they are fixed and located. Now, that means I know where they are. They are on the cross. Yeah, but isn't there also another side, and that's the opposite side of the cube of forgiveness, where you just want them gone, not anywhere that you know, gone, far away. That's the scapegoat image, and that's where the sins are taken symbolically by the scapegoat out of the camp. They are gone, and they are never coming back. So it seemed to me that we have a both and in terms of our sins. They are fixed in place, and I know exactly where they are. They are taken far away, as far as east is from the west. So far has he removed our transgressions from us.
You liken the crucifixion to surgery. How is that?
You know, this is back to the fixed one. So let's say that the surgeon, our vet, could have found that the tumor on our really beloved dog was in one place. She would have gotten out her sterilized scalpel and would have taken out that tumor because it was in one place. It could be fixed. Well, we do the same thing with cancer patients. Again, wonderful doctors take sterilized scalpels and they fix the problem with that scalpel. Isn't the rusty nail of the cross the most amazing scalpel? Because that's how God, the ultimate healer, cures us of our sinfulness. He penetrates his own son, but not with the stainless steel of a scalpel and with no antiseptic and no anesthesia, but with the hard nail of the cross, he enters his son to cure us of our sins. And so it just seemed to me that the nail, as contrast to the scalpel, both fixing the problem of sin, fixing the problem in one place, wasn't a bad contrast between the two.
On the subject of that facet of being far away, why do you call forgiveness a one-way trip?
That goes to that far away, as you just said, Todd. It's the scapegoat imagery from the Old Testament, the symbolic placing of the sins on one animal, the scapegoat, and you drove or took that animal out of this camp far away, and you wanted it to stay far away, and in fact, you know it's going to, because the goat was left in the wilderness, and sad to say, for the goat, it's going to die. It's not coming back into the camp, because that's the last thing you want, wouldn't it be? If symbolically the sins of the whole body, all the people were put on the goat, last thing you want to wake up to is that goat back in camp, gnawing on your tent. That's not the place you want sin to return. So let sin be taken far away. And that's the beauty of God has taken them away from us with his son. And they don't return. Psalm 103 is the place. I've mentioned it already. As far as east is from the west, so far has he taken our sins from us. He's removed them from us. East is from the west, far side. And they don't come back. They stay there. We know where the cross is, but it's beyond our sight, beyond our world. And that's all right. God says, that's where I've put your sins, as far away as possible with my son on the cross.
What is the comfort of knowing that Jesus is speaking on our behalf to the Father?
Now, this is where we need bigger speakers. The fifth facet is that we need the sound. We need big speakers, overwhelming sound, to drive away the many voices, the many sounds that we hear that accuse us. And for that, I use Romans chapter 8. And in Romans 8, verse 33, the question is asked, who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who will condemn? Christ Jesus, who died and moreover was raised from the dead and is interceding for us. Who will bring any charge? Who will condemn? You know, we hear lots of voices. I don't hear voices, but it's easy in our world to be surrounded by the sounds of accusation, condemnation. You're wrong. You're guilty. We can hear those ourselves or we can hear them spoken to us. It can surround us. We need bigger speakers, and that sound from the bigger speaker is to hear, if we could, the Son speaking on our behalf, The Son intercedes for us on our behalf. The Spirit also speaks for us with groanings too deep for words. That's also Romans 8. But I really focused here on Jesus speaking for us in somewhat like a courtroom setting, speaking on our behalf. Who do you want to hear? Which sound do you want to hear above all? And I think we need a focus on knowing, hearing the forgiving words of Jesus, the payment made, the it is done of Jesus on the cross, and then his victorious resurrection that says he has conquered. And that's the voice we hear. So in the likeness of bigger speakers, get bigger speakers so you can make sure you continue to hear him on our behalf.
We're exploring God's forgiveness with Dr. Daniel Pavla, author of The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for November. Flowing from the cross, six facets of God's forgiveness. When we come back, the role of worship in that sound of forgiveness. Explore and remember several facets of God's forgiveness with The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for November, Flowing from the Cross. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or learn more about Flowing from the Cross at IssuesETC.org. Flowing from the Cross, Six Facets of God's Forgiveness. The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for November, 1-800-325-3040 or IssuesETC.org.
Sent to serve. Across the nation, children are back in 1900 Lutheran schools serving students in early childhood through high school. Whether in person or through remote learning, students are thriving in programs of excellence in safe, caring Christian environments taught by dedicated teachers. To find a school in your community, visit lcms.org/schools. That's lcms.org/schools.
For sinners only. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Have you ever had to have that difficult conversation with friends and family when they come to your church and you have to say, I'm sorry, you're not a member. You can't commune here. We practice closed communion. It's a difficult conversation, and yet it's a very important conversation. Pick up your copy of the Lutheran Witness today to learn about how to have this conversation with your friends and loved ones in a way that confesses the truth about Jesus Christ. Visit witness.lcms.org to learn more. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR21. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Our prince is not one of the candidates for president. Our prince is the one who is feeding us food that is eternal food for a life that never ends.
They're not being honest about what they believe about family. They're not being honest with what they believe about diversity in their industries. They're scared to talk about their real beliefs because they believe it could come back to hurt them.
How can you make sure that your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds on the great scales? You can do the greatest good deed of all, and that is, by Muhammad's own words, jihad.
For many, many voters, it would be disqualifying, for instance, if the candidate were openly racist. If he said, well, I'm for equal rights for all human beings except for black people or except for Jewish people. I mean, I hope for most people that would disqualify them.
Friday, November the 13th, we're going to be playing Issues, Etc., Soundbite of the Week. Those four soundbites will play for you in their entirety during the last half hour of Friday's show. You'll listen and then you'll vote. Now, podcast listeners, you can participate. Those soundbites are already in your feed. You can listen and vote. You can vote by sending us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, by sending us a tweet at IssuesETC, or at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/IssuesETC. The listeners with the best votes will get the LPR bundle package. That's an AdCruise Imputer Dove Shell baptismal keepsake, the I Have Issues t-shirt, an Issues Etc. pin, bumper sticker, notepad, and tote bag. And also, to the listener with the best vote, the Holy Family Outdoor Nativity Set from the Outdoor Nativity Store. That's Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, Friday, the 13th of November at 4:30 Central. In the meantime, we're exploring God's forgiveness. Dr. Daniel Pavla is our guest. He's professor and chairman of the Department of Theology at Concordia University, Wisconsin. Dr. Pavla, if you would talk about the role of worship in that sound of forgiveness you mentioned before the break.
Well, I think that's where we share the sound. The sound of this forgiveness is not just to me, which is fine. When I'm alone and I'm afraid of my sins, well, I open up the text and I read the scripture and I hear his voice. But, you know, isn't it better to do it in the context of all of us together so that I hear this reassuring sound to everyone? And so when absolution is announced by the pastor and I hear that I am forgiven and I look around, and so we all are, and that announcement carries such wonderful weight, because at the same time that God says to all of us, you are forgiven, he doesn't then have a little asterisk or addendum that says, oh, but not you, Dan. No, not this week. Oh, no, not after what you did. No, there is no add-on or taking away. We get to stand with the whole people in our congregation, and all of us hear that same announcement. It's like also then coming to the Lord's Supper. And to each and every one of us, we get the same announcements. Take, eat. This is his body given for you for the forgiveness of sins. Again, no distinction, no separation, no, oh, not for you. So I think that worship is just a wonderful way for us to be reassured of hearing at a high volume, you might say, those words of forgiveness.
You say that the payment for our sin comes with a balance of judgment and grace. What do you mean by that?
Somebody's got to pay. This is my last image, and that is a single voice. Picture a car accident. Well, only in this, that somebody backs into your car. Your car is parked there, and you're walking out into the parking lot, and somebody just backs right into your car, and they're about to drive away. They get out, they look at their car is unharmed, and they're about ready to drive away. And wait a minute, you run out and stand in front of their car and say, wait, you can't just drive away. Somebody's got to pay for this. And that, it seems to me, is the balance that we need in the end with forgiveness. I didn't want people to read the book and say, well, forgiveness is this effortless forgiveness by God, where God, at no cost or hardship to himself, can just say, oh, well, that's okay. Don't worry about it. When we've been injured, when someone needs our forgiveness, it's a big deal. And we naturally, because God has put this sense in us, we say, isn't someone going to pay for this? Somebody's got to pay for some of the wrong that's been done in our world, some of the wrong that's been done to us. And that's the wonderful news of forgiveness, that Romans chapter 3, because God has put the sins of the world on his son, he can be both just and the one who justifies the ungodly. He's just. So if we say, somebody's got to pay for this world, God says, you're right. Someone's got to pay. And then he says, so what do you need? And I think that the telling answer is the last sentence that I use several times. Just imagine God to a frustrated us, somebody's got to pay. Somebody has to do something about this. And God says, I gave my son to die for you. Is that enough? And I can't imagine God saying that and us not going, yeah, that's enough. And when we look at his payment, it's payment enough. And while I can go on and on about the many, 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 many things wrong in this world, the many, many, many sins that need payment, in the end, God gives a wonderful single answer. And that is just one thing. I gave my son to die for you. That's enough. So it's both the balance of judgment. God agrees. He has to be just. But it's also pure grace, because the payment made covers all of us.
When forgiving others, why should we, as you say, count Jesus' cost in forgiving us?
there I use like a ledger idea. Again, going back to that car accident, you know, if you've ever had your car run into or damaged, you know, right away you start thinking about, oh man, this is going to cost. This is going to cost. There's a deductible. The car is going to be out of service. It might never really be right. You might never really forget. You don't trust it. There's a lot of cost. And we add up those costs pretty quickly, I think, in our minds. We do that on a large scale with the costs of the world around us. And it's really easy to come up to the world and say, hey, here's the bill. I think God would say, okay, bring it. Just bring it. Bring it over here. Bring your bill. How long will that ledger be that you've got of that which is owed to you, that which has been done against you? Let's see it. And then let's just take a step over here to the cross. Let's look at what his ledger was. Of himself, nothing, zero, no charge against him. But that which he took willingly upon himself to pay the price of, unbelievable. Now, how does my little notebook look? You know, my few pages, my tiny little scratching and a few lines. What is that compared to him? Nothing. And at that point, we're just silenced because we're in that load that he took. We're paid for. And if I at the same time think that something is owed to me, you know what? I'm just going to stand at the cross and say, there's way more here. Forgiveness and caring of sins than I've got any idea of. So Jesus' cost, it definitely overwhelms anything we might feel that we're carrying.
How do these six facets of forgiveness that you describe resolve into the cross?
Well, you know, in two ways. On the one hand, all of this is that center image. We talked about the diamond. It's the diamond of our engagement. It's the center. And so where are you going to go but the cross? It's the one place that's going to be the foundation, the source of all this. A simple analogy I used is I described my cube of forgiveness as six different woods, and two of my sides were made of red oak. And I did that because our chapel here at Concordia has red oak parquet flooring, and it's veneer, eighth inch thick. It's huge. I tell you in the book, and I don't even remember the number now, how many pieces of flooring make up the parquet floor in our chapel. It's many, many, many thousands of them and such. But at the same time, the largest red oak tree in Wisconsin, if you cut it down, please don't, but if you cut it down and milled it, would be enough to make all the veneer, all the wood in our chapel. Countless are the pieces that we stand on every day. They could come from one tree. Seems to me that's like forgiveness, isn't it? We stand on the multitude of the forgiving nature of God. He has forgiven us in so many ways. And like walking on a parquet floor, it holds you up, but you don't even count it. You're not even conscious of it. But you couldn't miss that one big tree. And at the front of a chapel, at the front of your church, on the top of every steeple, there is that one tree that supplies all of that. Now, that's one dimension. And the other is, in fact, I was working with this cube. It's a six-sided cube, and Concordia Publishing House does a beautiful job of showing the sides of it, and they turn the cube, and they picture it for you, and they describe the wood that it makes. Well, I'm not that bright. I did the whole thing with the cube and wrote it all up, and I tried out the idea with groups. And in order to do that, I had to make paper cubes that I taped together so people could have them at their desk or their table, and they could go through the six sides, you know, and it's clean and it's covered, it's fixed and it's far, it's many and it's one, and there's the six sides. And when you make a paper cube out of one piece of paper, you realize it's a cross, and that's what the cross is at the end. And so I describe the cross in the manner that it would be if you could fold it, and it would become the cube that we've been describing the whole time. So I'm sure that many of the readers will have seen that coming. Trust me, it took me all six sides before I ever said, say, I could make the cube into the cross.
Finally, how do you respond to a listener who wonders, how can I be sure that my sins are forgiven?
It's that single word from the cross. It is finished. My forgiveness is as certain as the fact that Christ has died for the world 2 Corinthians 5 would be a great place to go. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not counting our trespasses against him. The thing I love about this, and Todd, this is nothing new, it's straight from the catechism, the assurance that we find of forgiveness is being in the world. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. All we need to do, this is straight from Luther also, is to feel and say, let's see, am I made of flesh and blood? Yep, I am. Am I one of this world? I am. Well, then those verses assure me that regardless of who I am, what I've done, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. 2 Corinthians 5 is wonderful. And Psalm 103 also would be a wonderful place to go, that God does not treat us according to our sins. As far as east is from the west, so far as he removed them from us. As high as the heaven is above the earth, so much as he loved us. So those places and that universal, that covering of us all, is, I think, the place we've always gone, and it still works today.
Dr. Daniel Pavela is professor and chairman of the Department of Theology at Concordia University, Wisconsin. He's author of the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for November, Flowing from the Cross, Six Facets of God's Forgiveness. You'll find this book at our website, issuesetc.org, or you can call Concordia Publishing House any weekday during regular business hours and order Flowing from the Cross, the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for November, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Dr. Pavela, thank you very much.
Hey, thank you very much, and thank you to our listeners. We appreciate it very much, and thank you to Concordia Publishing House for, again, partnering with me on this and making it a great product, we think. Thank you.
In Hour 2 of Issues, Etc., it's part 3 of our series on prayer. Today we'll talk about prayers of praise and thanksgiving. We'll start off discussing reverence in prayer. Pastor David Peterson, departmental editor of Gottesdienst, the Journal of Lutheran Liturgy, will be our guest.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues, Etc.